Hello, and welcome to Returning to Us, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to hack your brain, build and strengthen relationships, and to teach people how to recognize and neutralize their emotional states. I'll discuss emotional intelligence and regulation, how food and exercise impact the body and brain, and share lessons from my own lived experiences. I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer, the founder of the Behavior Hub, which is an organization that works to reduce the stressors of raising and educating children through a brain and biology-based lens. In these episodes, I'll share stories and strategies from my own life, work, and research, answer listener questions, and wrap it up with a try-at-home tip. Decades worth of information in just minutes. You ready? We are on a series, a mini series that might turn into a not so mini series on micro practices. So going into kind of overall well-being with body, mind, and spirit, the focus. But why I am going into this and this series is explaining, showing, sharing practices that are anywhere from like 1 to 5 minutes max. Because the reality is our lives are jam-packed. We have way too much that we are trying to do in one day. And our mental capacity gets drained before we can even probably get to any of these things unless we instill them and put them in a routine in the beginning part of our day, which not a lot of us have created time for. Families, work, things, whatever it may be. So there are things, routines, practices that can be integrated really any part of your day, like morning routine when you're having your coffee, if you have the ability to do that. Maybe it's over lunch. Maybe it's the end of the day before you return home from work. Maybe it's as soon as you get home from work. Maybe it's before bed. So little tiny micro routines that can be embedded into really any part of your day. Even like fitness-minded ones, they don't, you could use weights if you have access to weights, but they don't need weights. You could use your body weight. So why am I doing this? Why does all this matter? Working with people in multiple fields right now, but I think especially with my heart being with educators and watching people burn out, is like, how can we help these people get out of a survival state? Because we're mentally in a survival state. You're so overworked, exhausted. You're just trying to survive each day. We want to start to revive them, or we want you to help you revive yourself. So what are micro practices that you can adopt to move you in the direction of revival? And then you create a consistent plan, ongoing routine, and that puts you into like a strive to maintain state to where we hope to get you to, which is a more thrive-based state. And this takes you through the stages of the Five Ives, which is an organization I created with a partner, Jessica Doring, to walk people through healing. So here's the reality of all this. We are in survival. We might recognize we're in survival and we want to get to thrive. And we're like, what takes us from survival to thrive right away? Not really anything. There is no magic pill. So to move through these stages, you have to adopt micro practices to get your mind and your body and your spirit moving in the direction of healing. And as that momentum begins to kind of unravel and unfold and you have it behind you, it moves you into more consistent practices and it moves you through those states. It's not jumping from basically doing nothing or doing very little and recognizing you need something to a massive shift and like going to the gym every day for 2 hours. It's just unrealistic jump. So start small, micro practices. They're sustainable. There's time and energy and space to do those because they're so tiny and that gets the momentum going. So I walked through 2 episodes ago, I believe it was like a 5-minute body weight workout that included just doing lunges, reverse flies, squats, push-ups, and glute bridges. If you don't know what any of those things are, you can go back and listen, or you can Google them. Probably lunges, squats, push-ups, and are probably pretty well known. You might need to peek at a reverse fly or a glute bridge, but good ones to do. Body weight, super simple, couple rounds, under 5 minutes. Then we went through this what Rangan Chatterjee calls Power Five, and a lot of these concepts come from his work because he does a great job of helping people who are in a survival state inch towards improvement. So his Power Five are jogging or sprinting on the spot, jumping jacks, mountain climbers, push-ups, squats. And for a lot of these things, like as you begin to do them, you can increase them by adding weight. Or if you don't even have weights, you could just add some type of weight. Like you could grab a stack of books, or you could grab, I don't know, two bottles of like heavy water. You could also kind of vary how you do them to make them harder as well, like standard squats with your feet hip width apart, or sumo squats with your feet much wider apart, things like that. Push-ups against the wall versus push-ups on your knees. So lots of variation possible for these to make them a little bit harder, but still can all be done in 5 minutes. Okay. Today I want to talk you through a workout that you could do that's a little bit less high intensity, less like, I don't want to say harsh, but less, what's the word? Intense on your muscle groups. So a bit of an easier workout, but not any less helpful. It's still a very beneficial workout, especially for the abdominal. So I'm gonna walk you through this workout, explain it, give you a challenge to it, and then we will wrap up. Okay, so the first movement is high knees with what we call as a shoulder press. So you just basically march in place, and you want to bring your knees up, and you want to make sure your knees come to about 90 parallel to the floor, so like 90 degrees. So you bring a knee up, and when you bring your knee up, you take your arms and you lift both arms up into the air with your knee. Then arms come down with the knee. Then when the other knee goes up, arms go up again. So you're pressing your arms up, you're pressing from your shoulders up. So you're just marching in place, high knees with a shoulder press. Every time knees come up, your arms go up with them. Should you want to make this harder, you could do a squat and then into a high knee, into a press. You could add a weight to your hands to press up. Lots of different options there. The next one is squat to knee. So with this one, you just put your feet hip width apart. You squat down until your thighs are parallel with the floor. And then when you stand up, sorry, pause. Your hands. When you're squatting, your hands go from your sides to kind of raised up. So both your arms and your thighs will end up parallel to the floor. So as you're sitting down into a squat position, your arms raise up and you hold that position. And then you come out of it. And as you stand back up, you lift your knee up and bring your hands down to touch that knee. So you're squatting down, hands go up. As you stand up, you bring your knee up, pick a knee, hands come down from being up, down to your knee, and then everything goes back down and you start over with the other side. Much easier to describe or explain if one has a visual, but since this is a podcast, not as easy to explain. Doesn't really matter if you do it right or wrong, it just matters that you are doing it and you're moving your body. The only time this really matters is if you're adding a significant amount of weight and you're not doing the movements correctly, or the position or posture is off, you could potentially hurt yourself. So being mindful though, as you're going through these, even though they aren't with heavy weight, that you do want to try to adopt a good position. And maybe that takes you recording yourself or looking up videos on YouTube of how these positions look, but it will help you to make sure that you're not going to get yourself closer to an injury. Okay, one, two. First one, high knees with shoulder press. Next one, squat with your knee to your hand as you're coming out of the squat. The third one is punches, just air punches. So you're literally just kind of putting your feet either side by side, or you can put one foot in front of the other and you're just punching the air. The next one is sitting down on the floor. Obviously, well, I guess you get in a chair, but sit on the floor and you are leaning back just a little bit until you can feel your abdominal muscles engage. And as soon as you feel your abdomen engage and it kind of tenses up, that's good. Hold that position. And then you are punching your hands kind of up into the air, so upward. And that's going to work your core. And the last one is just a push-up on your knees. If you feel like you're really solid with the push-up on your knees, you could do the push-up not on your knees, just a full-blown push-up. If you're like, "Ooh, push-up on my knees, it's still too hard," do a push-up against the wall, or use maybe like a chair or a coffee table or a bed and kind of do an inclined base push-up so it's not quite so hard. All right, those are your five. High knees with shoulder press, squat with knee to hand, straight arm punches standing, sitting, abdominals engaged, punching up, push up on knees. Okay, so you work through one exercise at a time and then you repeat. How you do this is up to you. Maybe it's like, okay, I want to do this 3 times, or I want to do this 5 times, or maybe it's like, I want to do each one for 15 seconds or 30 seconds, whatever it is that you like. If you have 5 minutes, just break that down. So, how do you want to divide that up? Whatever you have the time for. Sometimes I'll go through something like this and I'll be like, for me, I don't like to time it because I'm like, oh, then I have to get my phone out. So I just say, okay, I'm gonna go through it 5 times. I have these five exercises, I'm gonna go through it 5 times. That's much easier for me. The other thing that you can do is like a challenge at the end. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I wanna do like a burnout, like a minute long burnout. So I'll just do one of them for a minute. Or again, if I don't wanna get the timer out and I don't feel like counting up to the minute, I will just pick one and I'll do like five rounds of it, back to back to back to back to back to back to back. I don't know if that was 5 times, but you get the point. Okay, so pretty easy, more like less resistance based workout, lighter workout, a little bit simpler, can be done anywhere, very easy. That takes us to today's listener question, which is, I have twos and threes. How do I teach these toddlers to regulate? I love teaching toddlers to regulate. My answer, in short, is I teach them some type of categorization system. Like, in order to regulate their emotions, they have to know that we go through a series or sequence or states of emotion. That's a very hard thing for a toddler to understand. So they need sort of a visual to help break this down. And they need to see there's like a continuum of emotion, like emotions like a thermometer where it goes kind of hot and heavy and then it comes back down. Like, it's hot again and comes back down. And sometimes it gets cold because sometimes our emotions are kind of down. So I really love to use a color-coded chart. I typically do blue, green, yellow, red. And the blue is that kind of low energy, sick, tired, sad. That green is the optimal energy, happy, focused. The yellow is that very short period of time. Like, toddlers almost don't even have this, I feel like. We're like, you can see that they're getting a little cranky or frustrated or maybe even a little bit too excited. It's that really short period of time before they fully lose control, which is the red. So I teach these four colored zones. I use the emotion words. I model the emotions. I point it out when they are showing the emotions. I read books, use visuals of emotion faces or emotion games. But there's constant teaching of like, this emotion falls into this category. And what gets a little tricky here is like, sometimes a hierarchy of emotions can, or like the same type of emotion can exist in two categories. For example, you can be in the green zone and be happy. You can be in the yellow zone and also be happy, but you're like, you're getting too happy, like you're getting too excited. And the red zone can also be happy, but it can be like just out of control excitement. So that's where it gets a little tricky because you can be happy in the green, the yellow, or the red, and you could potentially be happy in the blue too. With toddlers, it's a little bit easier to not go into that, to just explain like, we often feel this and this and this. So here's how I've been using it. I have a now 19-month-old, and when he doesn't get his way, like when I have to put a toy away, or I can't give him something he wants, or he wants to go outside and just full-blown tantrum on the floor, I pick him up, I walk him over to the color-coded chart, and I point and I say, your body is in the red zone. We have to get back to the green zone. And I haven't even really gone into like the emotions of feeling that. I just say, your body's in the red. We need to get back to the green. And then I co-regulate with him. So then I calm myself. I don't get frustrated myself. I bring my facial expression, my tone, my body language, all of it comes down to a neutral state because I want him to mirror what I'm doing. And then I model a strategy to get myself and him back into the green. So a lot of times what we will do is I'll just put a hand on his chest, like a little bit of pressure, and I'll breathe alongside him, or breathe kind of into him, like, so you can see that breathing and breath work is a way to calm down. So you teach the chart. You bring them into awareness of our bodies go through these states, and you help them see those states in themselves, and you can state them in your own self too. The second thing is model and begin to teach regulation tools. So they need to be simple, they need to be short, they need to be fun. So breath work is a pretty easy one. Another one that we do a lot is he really loves cheese, my kiddo. So we'll squeeze the cheese. So it's almost like you take your two palms and there's a piece of cheese in between, and you kind of like squeeze it really tight. You call it squeeze the cheese. Sometimes too, we'll squeeze lemons. Like you pretend that there are lemons in your hand, you squeeze your fists really hard. Sometimes we take our jaw, and it's almost like you're biting on a carrot, and we're like, "Arr!" and you just clench your jaw really tight. So these are all ways to regulate and to bring you out of red and out of yellow back into green. So I model these things when he's upset. I try to remember to do them when I'm upset so he can see me doing them. And I try to remember to practice them and introduce them when he's in a calm state, because when he's in that red zone state or even the yellow, logic and reason is turned off. Memory system is turned off. So, or not as easily accessible. That said, it's not a good time to teach a new skill. So I teach it when he's calm, and then we use it when he's upset. Sometimes that's as simple as like a book has the strategy in, or I use a book that has an elevated emotion and talk about the strategy when we're reading through the elevated emotion. Again, it's short, it's simple, it's fun. I don't take too much time or go into detail, too much detail, but he seems to be getting it. Beyond teaching the color-coded chart and teaching the simple skills, they need practice time. Like they actually need to role play, pretending to be upset, pretending to be in the red zone and coming back down. Because in the moment, you can't teach it, because in the moment, their logic and rationality is turned off. So you have to introduce it, teach it, practice it before they're upset, and then remind them to use it when they are getting upset. So practice of it is really important. That's what creates the memory system and enables them to pull it out and use it when they are upset. That is it, and takes us to our wrap up, which is our try it at home tip. And the try it at home tip is just to do this. I'm going to call it the easy peasy workout. Easy peasy workout, which is the high knees, the shoulder press with a shoulder press, squat to knee, knee to hand, straight air punches, sitting, abdominal engaged, air punches, push up on knees. That's the easy peasy workout. So that is your try it at home tip. Encourage you to try that in the next couple of days. And that's it for today's re episode of Returning to Us podcast. Don't forget our try it at home tip, which is the easy peasy workout. And if you are looking for more support in the areas of stress, trauma, behavior, or the brain, I would love to be a part of that learning journey. That is why I created the Behavior Hub, which offers a range of supports for parents and mostly around coaching and some online courses that teach these skills. So, if you'd like to learn more, pop onto the behaviorhub.com or text me at 717-693-7744. And if you're talking about or wanting or discussing or needing more regulation-based skills, more trauma care-based skills, stress management skills, burnout-proof skills in at the organizational level, the business level, at your work level, that is the work of Five Ives. Five Ives is an organization that my partner Jessica Doring and I created to walk organizations through these healing stages to get their staff out of this survival burnout stage where they can actually enjoy the work they do, want to come to work, not call off sick, and be productive. To learn more about any of that, fiveives.com. Don't forget to lock in what you learned right today, right away, by sharing this with someone else, getting an accountability buddy, coming back and telling me if you did it in the comments below and how it went, or just sharing this episode with someone and chatting about it. Until next episode, I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer, and thank you for joining me.